You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. It seems local and national stories of police misconduct and brutality against its citizens have become standard. From Ferguson, Missouri to New York City, and of course in our hometown of Chicago, and with the issue of police brutality making more headlines on seemingly a daily basis, it does not seem to encourage the law enforcement community in making changes within its ranks. With us today to discuss this issue is Antonio Romanucci, founding principal and partner at Romanucci & Blandon, a personal injury law firm based in Chicago, Illinois. Antonio has been the lead attorney in several high-profile civil lawsuits filed in the last decade on a variety of issues ranging from sexual abuse in the clergy to high school hazing, sexual assault, and police misconduct. Antonio, certainly an interesting topic, and certainly looking forward to our visit here today on Enterprise Radio.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the introduction. I appreciate very much being on the show today.
And the pleasure is certainly ours as well. So for starters, out of all the types of law practices, why did you decide to pursue personal injury and wrongful death at Romanucci & Blandon?
Well, one of the main reasons I pursued this particular area of law in personal injury and wrongful death, it's because it's the area of law where you can represent individuals. I decided very early on that I did not want to represent corporations. I did not want to represent insurance companies, nor did I want to sit behind a desk and be a commercial transaction lawyer. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because we certainly need those lawyers to do all those great deals that make our economy and our commerce keep going. But I thought that I was better suited at representing people, and I wanted to be a courtroom lawyer, as it's known, and I want to be able to persuade people as to what it is that I feel is right when it comes to the law.
How did your firm come about helping victims of police abuse and misconduct?
Well, again, police misconduct is an offshoot of personal injury and wrongful death. Some matters of police misconduct, unfortunately, result in death. And that's when families come to us and ask us to represent their loved ones. Other issues of police misconduct and brutality do not involve death, but they involve injury. And more importantly, they can also involve instances of violation of civil rights under our United States Constitution. So under a civil rights claim, you don't necessarily have to have an injury associated with your instance of misconduct or brutality, but a violation of your constitutional rights would be enough.
What differentiates you from the other law firms that work on this type of issues or even personal injury or wrongful death in general?
Well, when we take these cases, we're very concerned about the long-term outlook on these cases. And here's what I mean, and let me give an explanation. You know, in your typical case where somebody says, oh, you do personal injury, they might look at you and say that you're representing somebody in an auto accident or somebody on a slip and fall case. They come to you, they order the medical records, they get the medical bills, and they get you a nice settlement, and the case is over, and everybody goes on their merry way. In those types of cases, what I like to say is that, you know, the needle doesn't move very much in that respect. There isn't much change that is made in terms of policy or habit or custom. In police misconduct work, such as what we do, what we aim to do more importantly is when we do take on a case, we try and look at the long-term outlook in the sense of what can we do so that when we do resolve this case, when it's over, we know that we've been successful in changing some sort of habit or conduct, a policy, a custom or practice that that police officer and, more importantly, that police department had that they will now change as a result of our case to make it safer, better environment for the people on the street. As typical, somebody had to take the brunt of the police misconduct, usually our client, but after that, we try to make sure that that type same issue doesn't happen again.
Today we are joined by Antonio Romanucci, a principal and partner at Romanucci and Blandon, located in Chicago, Illinois, where they focus on catastrophic personal injuries arising from medical malpractice, construction and other workplace accidents, nursing home negligence, aviation disasters, and police misconduct cases, including civil rights actions, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mr. Romanucci, what cases have you represented relating to police misconduct that have stuck out as a game changer in terms of policy or even cultural mindset, and why?
Well, probably one case that stands out that's very important is a case that was settled earlier this year against the Chicago Police Department, and that is the Freddie Wilson shooting case. Freddie Wilson was an aspiring rap star back in November of 2007 when he was pulled over for a traffic violation, actually for his car not having a working headlight. And what happened afterwards, nobody will ever know exactly what happened, but we were able to forensically piece the case together and determine that the Chicago police shot at Freddie a total of 22 times, 18 of the 22 shots actually striking him, and Freddie wound up dying very, very, very shortly after this incident. He died on the scene. We don't know whether or not he ever had any consciousness afterwards. He was pronounced dead on the scene. So the issue became that the Chicago police said that after they pulled Freddie over for the traffic stop that he reached for a gun in his back pocket, pointed it at the four officers who were surrounding his car, and in fear for their life, they shot at him. Well, what we found out during discovery was that this alleged gun that Freddie pointed was found approximately 6 feet from the car. It was devoid of any DNA, blood, saliva, skin cells, anything whatsoever that would have suggested that he held a gun in his hand. And the clear fact that he was shot 18 times made it a very bloody scene, and this gun was as clean as a whistle. So through expert testimony and forensic evidence, we were very, very able to prove that the gun was not Freddie's. We suggested that it was what's called a plant or a gun that was carried by the police officers as an extra. And in fact, when the case was settled, the City of Chicago Police Department issued a press release discussing that they had serious issues with the credibility of their officers in their story of how and what happened to Freddie Wilson. So clearly that was a game-changing moment for the Chicago police to admit that one of their own police officers, actually several of their police officers, were not truthful in telling the story about what happened on that night where there were no witnesses. The only witness was Freddie Wilson. He, of course, was dead, and the police know that the best witness is a dead witness. Probably the other most important case that we're working on is a pending case right now, so I can't talk as much about it, but it's the case that involves Commander Glenn Evans, who tortured Ricky Williams. He found Ricky Williams, suspected him of committing a crime. In fact, Ricky Williams was committing no crime, and the allegation is that Commander Glenn Evans, in order to extort a confession out of Ricky Williams for not having committed a crime, placed his gun in his mouth and threatened him with his life and with jail and jail time for his family. Those are the allegations that we have pled in our lawsuit against the City of Chicago and Commander Glenn Evans. We have not gone to court yet on this, so we have not had a chance to tell our story in court, and this is what we look forward to on this case. And certainly it is our expectation that the City of Chicago will change its policies and that they will terminate their long-standing practice of brutality and torture when it comes to innocent victims.
I can certainly understand those two cases alone being game changers, especially the first one, and hard to forget something like that as dealing with it firsthand. So tell us, one of the reasons we have you here is to help educate the community. So how do we actually do that, educate our community, especially aspiring police officers and law enforcement members, on how to tackle these issues, and how do we get politicians to protect its citizens if we can't rely on law enforcement to do that?
Well, that is just a great, great question, because in order for us to reduce the incidence of police brutality and misconduct and bad behavior, it really, truly is a two-way street. In order for this to happen, there has to be a tremendous amount of respect from both sides of the aisle. The police and law enforcement has to have respect for the citizens. Citizens must and have respect for law enforcement. Right now, there is just too much distrust, especially in socioeconomically challenged neighborhoods, between law enforcement and its citizens. And that's because of a very dark secret that exists of profiling. You know, if you're of a certain socioeconomic class or race or ethnicity, you are more likely than not to be profiled for having committed a crime that you didn't do. And so when that happens, it breeds lots of distrust, and people do not want to cooperate with the police. And when there's no cooperation, then police resort to other tactics in order to get the information that they need. And that usually winds up being either brutality or torture. So this will not change overnight. It will take a long-standing commitment to our city politicians and local governments to instill, you know, community neighborhood watchdogs, to have community offices that are staffed by the police, as opposed to just having police officers patrol the streets, which are very necessary. So there has to be methods instilled in the community where trust is bred both ways. Another way, which is much more direct, in order to stop this misconduct that we have, is that the city and the government has to take a very serious look at every police officer having a wearable body camera. And, you know, we need to work out the issues as to when the cameras will be activated and how they will be used. I've written on this subject and I have opinions on it, and they will soon be published. And that's really for another discussion. But those are the two quickest ways, long-term and short-term, that we can get started in reducing the incidences of police brutality.
Certainly has been good to have had you and spend a moment with us here on Enterprise Radio. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Romanucci and Blandon online?
Oh, thank you very much. My name is Antonio Romanucci, and I'm the principal and partner here at Romanucci and Blandon LLC. Our website is rb, as in boy, law.net, and my email is aromanucci@rblaw.net.
Very good. Mr. Romanucci, a privilege to have had you a part of Enterprise Radio today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, and have a great day. Appreciate it.
You bet. We've been speaking with Mr. Antonio Romanucci, a principal and partner at Romanucci and Blandon, located in Chicago, Illinois. And for more information, visit rblaw.net. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.